But people heard Louisville, and I had like 7 people reach out to me 1 week, and I was like, finally, how did you hear about me? Like, oh, we're listening to Bigger Pockets, and it felt like he was talking about Louisville. And so I reached out to David and said, hey, man, you generated a bunch of business for me. We should start working together. So I brought property management, title, traditional lenders, and $16 million in off-market deals. Went out to California and hosted a happy hour with David. So now David's, he's one of my clients and sends me like clients to work with. And so that's been a huge generation for me. And then my buyers list, you got to think, is so different than all the local ones because I have all that out-of-state money.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Rob Bergeron is a problem solver. He specializes in helping out-of-state investors invest in Kentucky. He owns the Louisville Network, which helps his clients unload their assignable contracts and source them. Rob, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate it, Sam.
Hey, man, the pleasure's mine. The same 3 questions I ask every guest who comes on the show. Can you quickly tell us, where did you start? Where are you now? And how did you get there?
Oh, well, that's a lengthy one. Well, I got started in Ohio. I was born in Ohio, or born in Boston, grew up in Ohio. I went to University of Kentucky because I was planning on going to sports management. Then realized everybody wants to go into sports management. There's really no money in it. I took a job out of college when I was in charge of sales and marketing for a retirement community. And I was supposed to be outside of Chicago. They put me in Iowa. I was depressed, but I was pretty good at it. And I just kind of hated it. And it kind of planted the seed on real estate because it was kind of the same thing, but I wanted to work for myself. So saved some money, paid off my student loans, lived in Florida, bought a sailboat, learned guitar, did a lot of reading, lived in Ecuador for 4 months and just kind of hung out and talked to the international students. Then came to Louisville and started doing real estate because the market was just a little bit more interesting than like Dayton, Cincinnati at the time, which now it's pretty cool there too. But, and then now I'm here and I didn't know anyone. And I was just so aggressive with Craigslist. I had this tool where I would just post Craigslist ads all the time. And it's kind of just an annoying thing to do. So what I did is I made it competitive. So if anyone ever posted one post, I'd do 50 posts to knock theirs off. And then there was probably like 28 people competing with me. And then it was just me and one other person at the end of it. And somebody reached out to me from there and was like, hey, can I see this? And I got a good rapport with them. And the houses he wanted to see were like 15, 20K. And I was making no money, but he really took to me. And he ended up being one of the leaders in our investor community. And then people were like, well, shoot, if he's working with Rob, I need to work with Rob. And then I was like, shoot, I've got to learn all this stuff. So I joined our local RIA, and now I'm on the board. I'm in my 3rd year being on the board there. And it's been pretty eye-opening because what job lets you educate yourself and learn while like also generates income? It's like going to school, but getting paid to go to school and set up your own family and your friends. It's just awesome.
That is absolutely fantastic. So tell me, give us a quick snapshot on what your business looks like today. What are you personally investing in?
Okay, so this should be like a, hopefully for some people, it's more of like a, hey, it happens to everyone. But the first 4 deals I tried to, investments I tried making, it all fell through. The seller came up with money to get out of foreclosure. The wholesaler, you know, didn't lock up the contract correctly. The house burned down, terrible inspection, whatever, you name it. It kind of happened to me. So fortunately, we just got our first Airbnb up and running. And we bought it in October, owner occupying it, my girlfriend, which is now fiance as of a couple weeks ago, which is great. We bought it for $275. We got my commission, closing, some closing costs, and we got $7,000, check for $7,000 for repairs. And this house had some hidden value, and I know it's important to add value here. So some things I look for in Airbnbs and long-term rentals is if you have those non-conforming rooms where you can put 2 bedrooms upstairs. So you're buying a 2-1, but really you can rent it as a 4-1. So there's a lot of value there, but hers had a no egress in her basement for one of the bedrooms. So we're Airbnb-ing it as a 5-bedroom because there's no rules for having an egress window for Airbnb. So it was a value add, and we've only had it up for 2 weeks. We already have 20,000 in bookings, which is really great. So we're thinking we'll do about 100,000 on that first Airbnb, and I'm closing on another one later this week. And I read the news, and I think that what sets me apart as a realtor is I read the news all the time, but I know what's going on everywhere. But I was on Zillow, and we bought this lake house for $149.9. It was listed 2 minutes later. I'd reached out to see if there's any Airbnb restrictions. Full price offer, 15 minutes later, accepted. Now they have multiple backup offers. And unfortunately, this is the area that was hit by tornadoes in Western Kentucky. And ours was fine. So we had the appraisal yesterday, should close later this week, but it was already generating $40,000 a year on Airbnb. And we're going to kind of turn the garage into a living space with like a mini split unit, ping pong and all that stuff. Fairy lights, add a hot tub, more comfortable bed. We think we'll generate about $80,000 on something we're all in it.
But to loop back, it's kind of weird. I've been doing it a little over 8 years now and I didn't own anything. And part of that is I just don't like competing with my client. And so that's where I started the Louisville Network. Oh, I don't know. Some of you guys might be familiar with this movie called The Warriors, and it came out in 1979. And the premise of it is to unite all the gangs against the police force. That was, you know, brutality and all that stuff. So essentially I united all the wholesalers and signed an NDA with all of them, and they all gave me their buyer's list. And so I combined it with my buyer's list and created this pretty OP buyer's list. So now the wholesalers send out their assignable contracts on my website. And if I bring a buyer, I charge $2,000, which makes me the cheapest JV out there. So I'm bringing in about $4,000 to $16,000 a month off that website where I'm enhancing people's lives. And think about this, all these realtors are like, don't forget to wind your clock or happy holidays, whatever. Well, no one's getting any spam emails from me. All they're getting is their potential next best off-market deal. And David Green, do you guys know, David Green, the host of Bigger Pockets. Well, guys, shoot your shot. I've talked about this before, but David Green, he didn't talk about Louisville on Bigger Pockets, but people heard Louisville. And I had like seven people reach out to me 1 week. And I was like, finally, how do you hear about me? Like, oh, we're listening to Bigger Pockets. And it felt like he was talking about Louisville. And so I reached out to David and said, hey, man, you generated a bunch of business for me. We should start working together. So I brought property management, title, traditional lenders, and $16 million in off-market deals. Went out to California and hosted a happy hour with David. So now David's, he's one of my clients and sends me like clients to work with. And so that's been a huge generation for me. And then my buyers list, you got to think, is so different than all the local ones because I have all that out-of-state money. So it was a win-win. And all I do is run comps, attach it to my email, and then send it out. That's it. And then I get a check in the mail. So, and I didn't compete against my clients. I enriched their life. So I don't know. I'm a little different beast, if you will.
I mean, that business model is a very strategic shift from traditional wholesaling. How did you cook that up?
I just kind of figured like, you know, I'm running comps for all these people and I work with all these investors. And I'm just like, oh, I have a buyer for this. Oh, I have a buyer for this. Why not streamline it and let them, their buyer's list work together? And I don't know. I mean, the more sets of eyes you have on any deal, you know, it's going to be better. And now we have the hedge funds here, which we're selling a lot to. It's tougher for the local people. So the cool thing is you have all these people that are like, you know, starting, people are learning to like source their own deals a little bit. So they're mining maybe 30 different houses in Louisville. Well, maybe they already have two or three projects or one's just way too big for them. Now they have the infrastructure to unload these. So I get a lot of random one-offs from these mom and pops. And so it just makes monitoring my list kind of important.
How do you know if someone comes through your website and ends up buying?
Well, the cool thing is, so they have to reach out to me for the open house information or the lockbox combo. So I have a list of everyone that reaches out to me. So, you know, that way, hey, here's this email where they reached out to me, like, you know, make sure I get paid on this one. But usually like the deals go through me as well. And I just kind of copy and paste the same kind of phrase. I mentioned that I'm a licensed realtor. That's really important to disclose because transparency is just really important. Yeah. So it's been really great. And I don't know. It's been kind of neat being able to provide a different utility to my clients.
Yeah. And you get to work with everybody in the city for a price that, again, like you said, a JV, $2,000 on a wholesale deal, unless this deal's really skinny. That's not usually what I've seen in that side of the business is a 50-50 split.
Oh, and if I live, I mean, I live so very well below my means. I lived in a house hack. So I bought my house for $130,000 and renovated it while I was living here. Not me. I'm not handy at all. But now I have a HELOC on my house for about $100,000. But most of my peers are all living in like $500,000 houses. And I live pretty cheap and comfortable. I do have a Tesla and it was a write-off, the Model X or whatever. But generally, like I just live frugal. I buy my clothes, most of them secondhand or on sale. You know, I don't know. I think one of the investor problems is like finding that balance, you know, being frugal and like, you know, building a future and then, you know, enjoying, because we're not guaranteed tomorrow ever either. So the way I partitioned it in my life is I've got that $100,000 HELOC. So I'm using that and recasting that money on Airbnbs, you know, BRRRs, whatever. But then my traditional income, that's where I'm screwing around with like day trading and like crypto. And then I'm getting really into crypto. I started a group called Louisville Coinage. And essentially what I found out, I hosted an Airbnb mastermind at our Airbnb just to get everyone's input and insight. Found out everyone had like 15, 20K in crypto, and only one of us knew what we were talking about. And I was not that person. So now we were like, all right, well, we all want to learn together. And it's just kind of cool because everyone in this community and that community, everyone's learning and trying to better themselves. I mean, when you're surrounding yourself with that kind of crew, it's just, it's really something. I mean, I'm not focused on like the minutiae. It's more, you know, how cool is the future going to be instead of being afraid of the future?
Sure. One of the things that we had talked about off air was how you've grown your business by adding value. What does that mean?
I don't know. I think a lot of people, like when I was a realtor, I made like 30, 35 and 40,000 my first 3 years. I was trying to do what everyone else was doing. I was door knocking or having people pass out flyers or the Craigslist thing or open houses. And that wasn't me. That wasn't a way like for me to connect to people the way I like to connect. I like to give people something and not ask for anything in return. I like to say, hey, I wouldn't say, if you can hold this, I would hold it because it's going to keep on going up in value. Like I try to keep it. Every other realtor is going to, you know, be like, yeah, I'll sell it for you, you know, or I don't know, try to hold these inspection reports together and like to their detriment, because I don't know, I have a couple of friends who are luxury agents and they sell like 2 houses a month, $500,000 each maybe, but I'd rather sell, you know, 10, 100,000 because then I can be like, oh, I wouldn't stain this one. Let's pass. I don't like foundation ish. I don't know. Adding value, I think, is just being real transparent. And I found this throughout this whole process. I'm very empowered to be myself because I don't have any secrets. Like everything I do is transparent. Like, I don't know. It's I'm very comfortable in my own skin. And if you ever find me on Facebook, I put out the craziest ideas like all the time. And it's just, I'm empowered because maybe one or two, three people in my life said, oh, Rob, you've got a lot of good ideas. And now I'm like, oh yeah, of course. Cause we all remember like that negative thing that one person said to us. I've tended to focus on the positive ones. And now I'm just really empowered, just a real comfortable way to live your life. And then people want to be a part of that exciting thing. Cause I host tons of client stuff because I like all my clients and like, they want to be a part of that Airbnb mastermind because they're going to save money. They're going to learn everything. And the coinage, it's like, man, I'm an idiot. And they all know I'm an idiot, but we're all trying to get better. So I'm reading and I'm highlighting and posting pictures and we're discussing it. But I don't know. I think one thing that's helped me too, being a realtor, is just people knowing that I'm actively reading, learning, going to conferences. I mean, it's just, you don't want to miss out. That's the big fear for everyone. And I don't want my clients to miss out. So I have to know, because if people are finding a way to leverage things to make more money, you know, I want to be able to provide that to them and like give them that option.
Right. That's fantastic. One of the things that you said has been influential is the book called The Go-Giver. Can you talk to us about that?
Well, okay. So there's this attorney in our market named Harry Borders, and he's just so generous. Now, imagine his business platform, like adding value here. So he has A to B and B to C wholesaling contracts. And he gives them out to all the wholesalers for free. Now, these are buttoned up, like safe contracts, you know, not something you're getting from fortune builders. And he doesn't charge anything for them. And he'll take a meeting for you with you, not charge you anything either. But it allows you to protect yourself. And you look more professional having a professional contract. And I mean, he gives his time away way more than I do, honestly. And I was like, wow. And he kind of taught me the Go-Giver and told me about the book. So I got it. And it really just is easy. Just providing value. And so that was a big catalyst for me. And then I started partnering with all these other Go-Givers. And we're all like, we have all the synergy for recommending each other. And I feel safe recommending them relative. And there's a lot of bad people out there that are taking advantage of other people. And it's nice being able to refer and know that they're going to be taken care of, because there's no perfect GC, no perfect property manager, probably not a perfect realtor, even if I must admit it. But like, these are, your risk on these is just so much less using the people I recommend. And anyone can use whoever. And I don't get kickbacks from them. So if I hear about someone doing better, I just swap them out of my list. So it's all about adding value, because I'd rather have one deal go really, really great so I can get the next 6 deals. That's the difference between traditional realtor too. Sell a house every 7 years. I'd rather sell 7 to one person, you know, every year.
Right. Man, that is fantastic. Rob, I love kind of what your thinking is and how you have grown your business by, you know, getting the giver's gain. I think that's really, it's empowering. I love that. What do you think the future holds for you on the real estate investing side?
As someone who, like, I truly believe money like floats to me because there's the way I am and the way I give. And so I don't know, like, what's the number that's going to be enough, right? Like, do you need a private jet? Like, do you need this or that? And I think, like, I don't know, I think we want 6 outright Airbnbs that we own without any kind of partners or anything. And, you know, we need some, honestly, I need the buy and holds just to offset my tax liability because I'm just getting killed by Uncle Sam. But I don't know. I think 30K passive income a month is just kind of what I want. And I don't think real estate's always the right answer for everyone either. Like, I mean, I have a barber named Todd and he gives in a fantastic haircut. I mean, I'm probably due in a week or two, but he turns those Mercedes vans and just does them for his family. I'm like, why don't you just hold 3 of them and start renting them out? I mean, we're in between Nashville and Indianapolis and Cincinnati. I mean, there's a lot of cool, the Red River Gorge is right here, Lexington. And I was like, you could probably make a ton of money doing that. And I think that would be his like superpower. When I was single and I would drive to go visit friends in Indianapolis or something, like listening to podcasts or whatever, reading, that was my superpower. And I maybe lost that a little bit now that I have my fiance, but like you get gains other ways, but like take advantage of your situation. I don't know. I think eventually upgrade the house if we have children, something like that. But I don't know. I think the Bitcoin and like, I'm not political by nature at all. I'm a moderate, if you will, but like the amount they're printing money and they can either tax us more, which everyone's so against, or they can print money and that, which is the easier solution because they don't have to ask permission essentially. And so the value of the dollar is going down and it's hurting all these other countries, the dollar as their fiat gold standard, if you will. That's why Bitcoin really interests me. I know this isn't a Bitcoin podcast, but it does seem like, much like real estate, it's a great hedge against inflation. And I think that's just so important right now. And I think that now that the hedge funds have learned to manage all these single families, now they're sliding into that game. And you mentioned the future earlier. And I think the future is we're going to have these massive apartment complex communities. And you already see them in a lot of places, but they're going to have doggy daycares. They're going to have indoor theaters. I mean, all these places already have these amenities. And what we're going to see is just home ownership is going to go down because they want all the bells and whistles. But then you're not going to have that wealth being transferred on in your family. And I think it's going to be the rich, the divide in the middle class is just, it's going to become even worse and worse. But that's why it's just so important to empower yourself by listening to a podcast like this and reading and being surrounding yourself with like-minded people.
Right, man. I love that. Rob, thanks for taking the time to jump on today. Let's jump here into the final 4 questions. First one is this. What is one digital tool or resource you find you can't live without?
Okay. This one's very easy. Some people use Calendly, but I use You Can Book Me. And so like, if I don't feel like talking to someone for an afternoon or no, I have like, I'm just going to be tired at the end of the week. I'll block off 2 hours and then I get the 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock. No one can schedule anything with me. But I was getting calls left and right, especially when I was advertising on Craigslist. So that has become an important thing. But one, it makes other people value your time more. Wow. If he has to use this kind of system because he's got so much stuff going on, then like, I'm going to make sure I'm there on time, like much like this, apologies, but it has been a great tool for me. And then I'm ADD. So I like getting up and being able to prepare myself for the rest of my day mentally. I'm not always full of energy. I'll be like, oh, sitting in my car before an event. And then like, I get in there and I feel great. But like, sometimes you just build up that mental void, I guess. But yeah, so Calendly or You Can Book Me.
Love it. Question number 2, if you could help our listeners avoid one mistake in real estate, what would it be and how would you avoid it?
I hate doing this, but like generally speaking, if you're new, don't buy anything with any structural damage because you're spending 10 or 15,000 to get a property back to homeostasis and you're not really adding much value to it. So I would stay away from anything like that. But like mold's fine, electric's fine, plumbing's fine. It's just foundation issues.
Stay away from foundation issues. I love that. When it comes to investing in the world, what's one thing you're doing right now to make the world a better place?
Whew. Well, I think you can find altruism in just about anything. I mean, these wholesalers, they all come from different socioeconomic backgrounds, but much like being a realtor, there's only a high school degree like barrier and there's no barrier for wholesalers, which is a great opportunity, but there's a lot of room for problems. So I think helping the wholesalers, like running comps, like making them look more professional because my comps are pretty accurate within 8,000, I think on almost everything. So empowering them, like, you know, and helping these people, like, honestly, this sounds terrible, but like getting people out of the 9 to 5, like I really find a lot of value in that, more so than finding someone their forever home or their first home. Because man, like having that autonomy in your time being your time, that's it. That's the sauce.
Right. Yeah. I love it. Rob, if listeners want to get in touch with you or learn more about what you're doing, what is the best way to do that?
Well, I'm on Twitter a lot, mostly for sports and Bitcoin. It's at Robert Bergeron, Bergeron. You can add me on Facebook. My name's Rob Bergeron, obviously out of Louisville, Kentucky. You'll see me and my fiance with the new ring. Very excited. And then I'm on BiggerPockets. I think LinkedIn's a cesspool, but you can reach out to me there as well. But yeah, any of those options would be great. Oh, and my email's rob@roilouisville.com.
Rob, thank you for your time today. Certainly appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much and have a phenomenal day.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.